I wish the Chizitza would have said how you could manage Yom Kippur without Nechemia Feigman, but I guess that. Yeah, that's some Rashi. Oh, my Chumash. Where's my Chumash? Rashi brings down somewhere in Chumash, I couldn't find it, that says that Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu, before they were Nifter, they gave Musa to Klal Yisrael, to Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi brings down two reasons why you should give Musa only right before you leave, and not in the middle of the time. And he says two reasons Rashi brings down. Rashi brings down one reason is in order that you shouldn't be give Musa and keep giving Musa. If you keep giving the person, you're going to keep giving the Musa. If you give Musa and you keep doing something wrong, you keep Musa again. Therefore, if the person does it right before he dies, right before he leaves, somebody else gives you one time, and the person's not going to see him for a while. The other reason Rashi says, the reason why Yaakov Avinu did not go and give Musa, I think it was to Reuven, before he was Nifter, Hakami waited until all the way till the end. And he says, because in order that he shouldn't go ahead and join Esav. If you don't give him Musa, it would have been too harsh on him, maybe. And it's possible he's going to go ahead and join Esav. So, basically, before leaving, it sounds like that's the time to go ahead and give Musa to whoever you're leaving from. So, after the reason that you're not going to come back, I was nervous that Toronto is definitely cold. So, Mimela, it's very possible. I still have some miles in Southwest, which is still possible to be able to come back in the middle of winter. Enough miles, I still left over some miles to be able to come back. So that, for that reason, I have a particular problem. And for the reason that people are going to run away, I'm scared. Spilas got running to young Israel and Zach like that. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared. I don't want anybody leaving. So, Mimela, I'm scared to go ahead and give Musa to the Olam. And the truth is, the community mamash just grew since we came here. It's been we saw the community grow from almost seven years ago that we've been here for already. The community Maimon Steiger, I remember when you used to give tikkun over here in Shari Tfila, there was only Krispy Kreme. Mom was only Krispy Kreme. The light wasn't able to eat anything, maybe a little stuff, but that was it. Now Baruch Hashem it's steiged, and there's always something which is Chovi Sol, or at least that it's not, and it's Yosha and everything else. The Olam Mamish got higher and better Musogim already since we've been here. So the community grew so much, it's very hard to start giving Musar. So, as parting words, as Rabbi Singer wanted to call it.
Farewell address.
I guess Elul is the only choice. As everybody knows, Elul has already started. It started yesterday. There was Zman started for some people. That starts Zmanim on Rosh Chodesh. And everybody knows Elul is supposed to start changing his Elul, and everybody speaks about how it used to be in the old days that as soon as Tar Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Elul, the Musaf was different, and people didn't crack a smile already. There was stories about people how there was communities that if people saw a person smiling too much during Elul, they would start like giving a Musaf, like, what do you know? You realize Elul? As someone told me, he told me the difference between, he was speaking about Gateshead, the difference between Gateshead's hardcore Musar and other not such hardcore yeshivas, that it doesn't feel serious. He said they found a bacher, it's a mashal, I don't think it's a true story, they found a bacher in Chazan Yom Kippur. So, from the other yeshivas, the guy comes over and says, Haki, Chazan Yom Kippur? And also in the Gateshead, the guy goes, Chazan middle, Elzman? Says, Elul, how can you see Chazan? So everybody knows that there's something supposed to be Elul is supposed to be Mamish Moedik, and we're supposed to some Mamish all of a sudden davening should be different, and it's a little stretched out because we got the blowing, and for a few seconds blowing the kiosk, you try to feel something, and then the rest of the day, and really, as time comes on, we realize that nothing can really happen Elul. So you want to feel something, but everybody knows that the feeling is better is not enough. You're trying to feel good and all that stuff. Waxman once said a mashal about the feeling. He said some people, they can go through an Yom Kippur and they feel a steig and they can even cry, have tears, and it's really nothing. So he gives a mashal, says you go to a car shop, so any car, all these dealers, and not the car itself, but we could buy car parts and different parts for your car. Says, in there you can also buy a smell for your car. It's called new car smell. It's a sensor for your car that the car can smell. A car has a certain smell, a new car smell, and you can spray your car, and you go into your car, you can be driving your old jalopy from night to one of, I don't know if anyone remembers my cars, my lineup of cars that I had, that I yarshin from different places. Yeah, a lineup of my Chevy Blazer with my Osborne with Silhouette and all the lineup of cars, and I barely drive. And you walk in, smells new cars, it smells like a new car. So hey, you guys are faker. He's for Damien that he's selling a new car because he has the smell of a new car. So the guy could go through an El Sotsuva and he's crimes and he's shuckling and he's his talus and he feels murdered. But the guy didn't change an iota. He feels he hears Grace Drush is inspirational. Murdered inspiring. Great, awesome. But the guy didn't do anything. He's still driving an old jalopy. He got a few sprays of smell of murdered smell and the smell of feeling and sagation and chuckling and feeling good and getting your kittle and shlok kaparis with chickens and all the murdered kazachin. But he didn't change. Nothing happened to the guy. Right after his thing, he gets himself a murdered roof and he feels murdered about sukkahs and sin. And then comes the winter, he's the exact same person and nothing changed one iota. So a person goes through an L like that, so he feels great. My father said he was one time at a speech. A very intelligent guy was speaking, one of these big speakers. The guy was saying fancy words, and he's a real charismatic guy. And he sees right in front of him these two old ladies, about 85, 90-year-old ladies. And he can't imagine in his wildest dreams that these ladies have any clue what this guy is talking about. And he's trying to figure out what these ladies are doing there. And they're sitting there listening, smiling. And after the speech, they get up. And the guy was dark. He said, I was a big, intelligent speech. I don't know what he was saying, but he said, there's no way. These old ladies, they're not comprehending it. Like you could tell. So what are they doing there? So after the speech, they're walking out. And he hears him, one lady saying, oh, he spoke so beautiful. I could listen to him all day. Says the guy, they were just sitting there listening, enjoying his speech. They were enjoying it. It sounds good. He speaks, was charismatic, and the story. They have no clue what he's talking about, and they're sitting there listening. So if we just go through an L, even if we listen to speeches and we do the things, and we just go out with that warmkeit and some murderkeit, we really all we did was get that new car smell. We got a good schmack of smell and some feeling. Our car didn't change. We're still driving an old jalopy. So we have to somehow figure out a way how we could, when we get to Rosh Hashanah through Elul, and we get to Rosh Hashanah, go through Yom Kippur, that we don't have that just the car smell. The car, good car smell should come from the fact that we got ourselves a new car, not just from the fact that we got a spray. There's a story with one of the Rebbes that... It came to Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah in the morning, they're all davening Pesukei Zimra, and they're all davening Pesukei Zimra, and all of a sudden, they get the Rebbe is the Baal Tefillah, and all of a sudden he says, HaMelech, and he faints. Maybe, right, what's going on? He's sitting there crying. They try to revive him. His mom is, he's ice bench. He said to HaMelech, they finally revive him, they get him back together, they continue davening. And after davening, they're trying to figure out what happened. What's Geshen? Why did all of a sudden, it's not the first time he davened from Shemelech. He wasn't that hungry. It was Rosh Hashanah, it wasn't Yom Kippur. So Tish didn't end that. I don't know if they have Tish and Rosh Hashanah, but So he said, I'll be Masber, what happened. He said the story was a Gemara that one of the Tanoim, was that during the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, that they were trying to save Klal Yisrael. The Bar Yoinim were closing Klal Yisrael, and they were trying to stop everybody. They didn't want to make peace with the Romans, and it was a shtickle mess over there. And I think it was Birchen, was it that he snuck out? Birchen snuck out the whole story in the Gemara, how he snuck out. His nephew was one of the Bar Yonim, and he made believe like he was dead, and they were allowed to, they bring out their dead. They wanted to try stab him, and they said, it's not, but Kitzer, he came to the general over there, and as soon as they brought him to the general, he said, Shalom Aleichem, I don't remember the Gemara, but somebody said, Shalom Aleichem Malka. He called him a king. So, Antiochus Caesar, I know it was Caesar, was it? No, no, it was Aspicionus Caesar. He's the Caesar. He's the king. So Aspicionus turned to him and said that you deserve to die. He says, why do you deserve to die? He says, like Psalmist, the Monoshach. He says, first of all, you call me a king, and I'm not a king. And he said, if Avivad, I am the king, then what took so long to get here? He says, Imalkano, if I'm the king, where were you until now? He says, when I said the word Amelach, I remember that story. He says, Imalkano, you just said Amelach. He says, if I'm talking about, where were you until now? Vos geshev, the whole Elul. And he got such a pach out of Imalkano, if I spoke, he just announced Amelach. So, Imalkano, where were you until now? What happened? Why all of a sudden Rosh Hashanah you decide to wake up Amelach? What happened the whole year? And that's why he fainted. He couldn't get hold of himself. Such a pacha that he had from the fact that what happened for the last 30 years. So 30 days of the whole Elul and the whole year. So the question is, like, what are we supposed to do for 30 days? Like, what are you supposed to do? Like we say, you're supposed to just have feelings, and it's 30 days, and okay, so end up, also we start saying shlichus, we could start, but what are we supposed to do for 30 days? And of course, it's the famous mashal Shalom Shandram brings down of how we are different than generations before. He says, he brings down the mashal of a guy that was trying to sneak stuff through the border. He had his horse and wagon, and for 2 months before he was preparing it, he had a whole stack of illegal stuff that he was going to sneak over the border, and he got his wagon driver, and he got his thing, and they're all ready. So 2 months before, no one's really too shaking. Everybody's okay. A month before, people start getting nervous. They know that if they get caught, that's it. It's over. In jail for life. It's not, there's no, nothing to talk about. So a month before, they start getting more nervous. The wagon driver is less nervous because he's just the driver, and the owner gets more nervous because it's his stuff that he's trying to sneak over. And as time gets closer, everybody gets more nervous in proportion to how important it is for him, this situation. So the wagon driver gets more nervous as the days get closer, and there's the guy that helps out the wagon driver, the horse boy, the stable boy over there that's going to be coming along also. Like a week before, he remembers, oh, you know what, I'm going over the border, but he's going to be he's less liable for anything he does. So the less he realizes what's going on, the less it's important to him, the less he's going to realize. And as they get closer to the border, everybody gets their heart start pounding, and it starts getting more scary, more scary. And each person on his level gets more scary. So the only person, the only thing, says, and all of a sudden they hear the crackling of the soldiers going towards them. That's it. They're bombing, they're right to faint. They're this guy. So the only person, the only thing there that's not scared and it's not shaken and doesn't really care is the horses. So the horse is the only one that's not scared. The only time the horses get a wake up and they start getting nervous, when the soldiers start hitting the horses, so then the horses start getting shaken up. So that's what happens to us. It's the tzaddikim which are attacking it, is thinking about what's going to happen, the Yom HaDin and everything else. Says their attack is 30 days already. They start getting shaking. The Yom HaDin coming up. Anything that happened the whole year, think back about what happened the last past year, all the tzaras that we went through. They realize it's all Rosh Hashanah is going to happen. It's all going to happen Rosh Hashanah. So they start getting nervous. People which are less in tune to it, they start a little less. Says the only people which are, don't think about it until even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, no one think about it, is only people which are horses. People which are all into this Eil Mazin, all into this world, and they're not bechlal thinking about anything, but they do get waked up. When do they get waked up? They get waked up when we get a hit. And Batsim, this community knows they got enough hits. A guy comes all the way from Crown Heights, has to get shot over here in North Miami Beach. So what do we do? Of course, we get Chandra's Miami Beach. Okay, security. We get the guy driving around here a few more times, maybe. We'll have the police driving around up here for a few months. There's been robberies, we also have police, until it slows down, and then nothing. So that's the reaction? Reaction is when something happens, it has nothing to do with security. It's not the security issue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, we have to be worried about security. I'm going to say we should put cameras out, whatever it is. That's not the main meeting. We had the robberies before that last few years ago. There's a lot of robberies going around. A whole community meeting about what? The security, how we're going to have them do that. It's a message. It's a hit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hitting us, saying, we got to do something. There's something that has to be done. He's not coming to tell us that we have to have more security drivers driving around in the exact pace, that the robbers know exactly where the guy's going, and the guy could see him going in, and he doesn't do anything anyways. That's not what the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, I think. It's something that we have to change. It's something we got to do. It's something that we have to take upon ourselves to be able to change. That's what the message is. We got hit. If we got hit, you got to wake up and see what's going on. So, I'm not going to give it specific advice of how to change. That's not what I'm here for. A guy comes from out of town, decides to hear what he's going to decide what's best for the community and stuff. Look, just get the standard things which Elul is supposed to do, and we're supposed to do in Elul, and the 30 days that were already started towards Elul, the Shaila is what we could do. So, everybody knows you're supposed to learn from the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is one of the smartest people, whatever, one of the smartest things, has great ideas, very intelligent fella, knows exactly how to convince people of what to do. One of the great things of Yetzer Hara is hergel, getting used to something. And you get used to a certain path that he goes to say, it's just, it came to changing, there's nothing that's happening, this is the way I am, this is what I'm doing. And therefore, your potter, this is the way I am, done, this is the way I am. So the truth is, or Waxman says, that you could go ahead and take that hergel and use it for a time. Of course, you're not supposed to just do mitzvahs anashim lumano. You're not supposed to just do it in rote. But you could take, if you go ahead and do things, start just a few times, the first few times it's stock of heart. You got to break it, you know what I'm saying? But once you start the path, everybody goes. You know, they have when I was a kid, they still have these books. There's the Berenstein Bears. And one of the Berenstein Bear books, I think, is Breaking Habits or Biting Nails or something. One of the Berenstein Bears, Biting Nails. You know? And I still remember the muscle that Mama Bear decided to give to her cub. I don't remember if it was Brother Bear or Sister Bear, that she started biting her nails. And it was a habit, and she was trying to break a habit. And as she was wheeling the wheelbarrow towards the garden. And as she was wheeling it, there was a niche that every time the wheel got stuck inside it. And when you got to the garden, she says, okay, look, see, because we kept going over and over the same line the whole time, so we made a niche. And now in order to be able to take it out, I have to lift it up a little bit and bring it out. So that's hergel. You're on the same path. And once you're on it, it just goes because that's the path. And in order to change, you have to move it over. So the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to just keep doing and therefore not change. But the truth is, once you move it over and you can start a new path, a new hergel, so that first few times it's a little bit hard to try to get it out of the thing. But once you start a certain way, a certain path, or a certain mahalach, then that's just the way it is. This is the way I am. Now I'm just not like that. It's just you keep going over and over on that same path. The first few times it's going to be a little bit hard, but once you started doing that a few times, then just the way it is. It keeps going, and it gets easier and easier as time goes off. Of course, you have to do it for the right reason. Nothing to do with mitzvahs and nashim l'modim. That's a different story. But to keep, just to get that change going, you just got to keep going over and over the same path. So what's one of the ways to move over on the path? So the Shaar Tshuva speaks about one of the main problems is that people are going the wrong way. He calls it Misyatzva Derech Leitoya. A guy's going the wrong way. I think it was just a story in New York. It was a cop driving the wrong way on the highway. Famous story, you know, there's a guy driving the wrong way on the highway, and all of a sudden his wife calls him up and says, be careful, someone driving on the wrong way on the highway. So he said, one person? There's hundreds of people driving the wrong way on the highway. So he said, also, a person's driving the wrong way. If you're trying to get to Chasna or something, all of a sudden you got your GPS. If anybody knows, got a good idea before I leave, don't say I didn't tell you. If you're driving Chas V'Sholim in Manhattan, the GPS never works. GPS goes Meshuggah. I don't know, at least the old version, maybe now they changed it. But usually GPS goes absolutely nuts in Manhattan, tells you to make left and right. I'm trying to get to the Lincoln Tunnel, all of a sudden he tells me to make a left. I see this fine Lincoln Tunnel this way, but he's making this way, tells you to make U-turns, and they go absolutely nuts. So you're following these people that follow GPS, and people just, whatever GPS says, that's what you do, and you're driving and driving and driving totally the opposite direction. You're pushing, going the wrong way. And you think you're heading towards this place, and little do you know that you're really heading the wrong way. So now you're going to do this, you hop all of a sudden, this doesn't make sense, so you keep slowing down. You keep slowing down. It's not going to get you to go the right way. You stop, and then you go again, you're still heading the wrong way. Every time you're stopping, it's not going to help you. The only way that you could do it is you get off the highway, or get off the thing, turn around, and get back the right way, then you can start heading the right way. Say the Shara Tshuva, same thing as the certain ways of life. There's certain ways of a person that, you're right, he's doing Aveir, he's doing one Aveir, this Aveir, but you're right, it's Aveir which he's doing, but it's a much deeper reason behind why he's doing that Aveir. Let's say a guy cheats in business. Why is he cheating? He keeps, I shouldn't have cheated that guy. Okay, I'm not going to do it again. All of a sudden, a few days later, he does it again. A few days later, he does it again. What's he doing it for? The reason why he's doing it, because he has taiva some moment. He wants money, and he doesn't realize that really everything's b'yad Hashem, and there's nothing that a person can't take from another penny from another person without, there's no way you can take from another person. Your cheating is not going to make any difference. So, as long as he doesn't change that attitude that money is not everything and your whole focus of life is not to get more money and more money, so you can keep feeling bad and clapping a hate about the fact that I stole, but it's meaningless. So it's a toivil v'sheretz biyadai. It says, what do you mean a toivil v'sheretz biyadai? It says, toivil v'sheretz biyadai. So if you're toivil v'sheretz biyadai, you're never toivil. What do you mean you're toivil v'sheretz biyadai? So Marishiva says, because you are being toivil. You keep being toivel, you keep going to mikvah, I feel bad, I feel so terrible for what I did, and you're feeling bad, you talk and feel bad. But you have the sheretz biyadai, you're still holding on to the fact that you have the bigger problem behind it, of which you're not taking care of. So you keep clapping achet, I feel terrible, I stole. But as long as you don't change your whole attitude in life, your derech achaim, if you don't change that and go ahead and say money is not everything, and it's not the important thing in life, and that's not what I have to go for, and that's not it. So then it's going to keep happening automatically. You're just going to keep on going. You're right. One time you're going to stop yourself, and you'll have a big nisoyin, and you'll stop yourself. But you got to get rid of the nisoyin. If you keep changing, say your attitude is that money is not everything, so you don't have the nisoyin anymore. You lost the nisoyin. It's not you're now you start driving the right way. So you have to change the derech. He says, he brings that in the Lashon by Hashem. There's also one of the things that by Misyatzo Derech HaTov, I don't remember the Lashon right now in the davening. But one of the things that we say is it's because we're going on the wrong path, and Nachcha Darcheinu v'Neshuva. We have to check Darcheinu. What's Darcheinu? Check our ways. Says Nachcha Darcheinu. We have to check our ways in the Shuvah, and then we have to turn around and go back the other way. Because if we have the wrong way, then not, our Shuvah is not meaningless, but it's definitely, it's not going to help us. It's not going to change us. We're just going to be doing that car smell. We're going to feel good that we did tshuva and it's the end, but it's not going to do it. So we have to change the way that the attitude of the ways of what we're going. And one of the a main derech that if we can change and we can mamash change around our whole life. When he's 1 second, and whole life has changed, Baruch Hashem, now you're good to go. But there's a Moed HaKazach, which you could do, if you just change an attitude, and that could change around your whole life. We've given, I think I've said this, I've spoken at this podium plenty of times before, and said this before, but we'll say it again. My Yeshiva always says over, he says that, when you realize someone thinks into how he speaks, usually what happens is when it's time for lunch, you say, I want to eat. When it's time to go learn, time to go daven, he says, I gotta go learn, man, I gotta go daven. It's what I gotta do. When it comes to all of a sudden, I gotta eat. He says, I want to eat. When it comes to learning, when it comes to doing mitzvahs, I gotta do it. He says, it's time to daven, I gotta go learn. This attitude of what you want and what you have to do, if someone just changed around their attitude in that oifen, they can mamash make a difference in their whole life. We have to, if someone focuses and realize, what am I here for? What am I doing here? Why am I here? Am I here taka to have a good time? Am I here taka to live up life? Or am I here to do mitzvahs? But if you don't go ahead and do it b'simcha, if you go ahead because that's what you want to do, if you go ahead and focus, listen, I'm doing the mitzvahs anyways. Most of the mitzvahs that we're doing anyways. So we're going to daven anyways. We're going to learn, hopefully, most people in this room at least, they're going to daven. We're going to do mitzvahs. We're going to take care to help people out. We're going to do chesed. We're going to do everything that we're doing anyways. So instead of saying that this is what I have to do, and by that, that's really the way you feel. I'm doing it because this is what I got to do. I got to do this. Just focus. I'm doing it anyways. Say, I want to do this. This is what I want to do. I'm doing it. This is what I want to do. Focus what you want. Make the focus of life, Torah, mitzvahs, and everything else what you want. Not just doing it because you have to do it and this is what I got to do. And it's hard these days because we're so mushed by the goyim. We have so much hashpahs from all the media and all this, the whole world, especially in Tumadik, in Miami, and all New York, it's probably much easier. But in here, you're mushed from the gashmius of Miami. But the truth is, it's very hard because the whole focus in the whole world is to try to get more for myself. And anytime I have to do something for someone else, it's a whole hassle. And just doing it because I have to do. And really, that was one of the main times. All the teichach and everything. Everything is what tachas shelo yivarat Hashem b'simcha. All the teichach. The pasuk says why it happened because you didn't do b'simcha. Only because you didn't do b'simcha. The pshat is because if you do it just because this is what I got to do, everybody knows someone does him a favor and he feels like, okay, fine, I'll do you this favor and okay, ready, here it is. You can totally tell the difference a guy doing it because he's doing you a favor because you feel like, oh, he wants to help you out. You got a guy for a meal and all of a sudden the guy says, okay, you have something, okay, I made it special for you, but you know what a hassle it was to go ahead and get this. You feel icky, you feel it's not geschmack. If someone goes ahead and you feel much, the guy was so excited to give this to you. Someone gives you feel like you're doing the guy a chesed for being able to. Some people, when you do a chesed, they do a chesed for you. Your mamash feel like you're doing them the biggest chesed. They had the opportunity to be able to give it to you. And your mamash feels good. It feels good. Like Bukh doesn't need our feelings. But when you go ahead and do it, because listen, I got to daven. I got to go ahead and daven. First of all, besides that, the whole surah of the davening is different. The whole learning is different. Every mitzvah that you're going to do is different if you're saying, this is what I have to do, and the surah is what I want to do. But it's the whole attitude towards thing. Now you can do b'simcha. If you're doing what you want to do, you're always happy. Because this is what I want to do. So no matter what situation, no matter what happens, if you focus on the fact that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're now in the situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in, and really, it's just every day-to-day thing. The person has to go to the doctor. Why does he have to go to the doctor? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him sick. If you realize everything is Baruch Hu, because Baruch Hu made you sick, because Baruch Hu made you sick, so now you have to go to the doctor, because Baruch Hu says, Rapi, you have to go to the mitzvah. So now, Betzim, I'm doing the mitzvah of Hashem. I'm doing what Hashem wants you to do. So next year, I want to go to the doctor, because this is what Baruch Hu wants me to do. I'm doing what Hashem wants. So it's very exciting. I'm doing what Baruch Hu says. And if a person keeps doing it, I want to do his mitzvah, and we really should feel, we're doing a mitzvah, because Baruch Hu is already getting to very spiritual levels of doing really because you realize Baruch Hu Demelech Macham Lachem, you have the opportunity to be able to serve Hashem, which is all true. But just change the attitude. As soon as the whole elul, if this person just keeps doing this, every time he does a mitzvah, you're doing the mitzvah anyways. So once you're doing the mitzvah anyways, just change that attitude a little bit and go ahead from doing to saying, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I have to do, change it to what I want to do. And eventually, as we said, the hergel, you keep saying it and saying it, eventually it's going to change. That's really what the whole Muslim movement is, to keep installing a person. It goes to the Rav, of course. Someone keeps doing, as I think Reb Chaim Shalevitz says, if a person keeps, any time a person keeps doing it a certain way, the person changes according to that thing. So the person can be the most chashev, prestigious person, but if he goes and has a job as a garbage man and he keeps doing it, then eventually he's going to lose his whole prestige. It's not going to be. And if you have maybe a guy like me, maybe, and he gets some fancy position, and he gets the whole thing, and he has to walk around with a suit and a tie, even though really he's not a classy fella at all, but he walks around all day with his fancy suits and fancy tie and hats, and eventually it's going to seep in, it's going to change the person, he's going to all of a sudden start being what he's, black tie affair, guys. And so if a person keeps saying it over, whenever he does it, just think it through, you're doing the mitzvah anyways, to change it, then it could change the whole person. And the truth is, some people say, oh, it's too hard, it's too thing. So that's all that's at the Yitzir. Rakshin says, the Mori Dekavor in this week's parasha, which is really posh, it's not posh pshat because it's Alpidrush. But the Pasuk says in this week's parasha, that when we go out to work, he says, Mochamar Revecha, Risa Sus, Verechev, Am Rovim, Choli, Sir Mehem. Article translates, when you go out to battle against your enemy and you see horse and chariots, people more enormous than you, you shall not fear them. For Hashem, your G-D is with you. So you can't be scared. So Rashi goes ahead and says in the Pesukim afterwards, says, Altiru, Vatechpezu, Valtaaritzim Ipneim. All different languages of don't be scared of them. So Rashi goes ahead and says each one is for a different thing that the Goyish armies would scare us with. He says, your heart shouldn't melt. From the horses pounding, the Goyim used to make the horse make a lot of noise, of screaming and some very scary noises, and you would be all scared. They would bang things together. And their trumpets, they would make a lot of noises. From the screaming and shouting. So all this pasuk is what telling you the horses used to make a lot of knocking and used to bang and stuff and used to blow trumpets and used to have screaming and shouting, and don't be scared of that. Says, that's what you shouldn't be scared. I have the U.S. Army going up against you and says, oh, by the way, the jets make a lot of noise as they fly by. You shouldn't be scared of that noisy jets as they go by. They're dropping bombs. They're 50-ton bombs. And he's saying, that's why I shouldn't be scared of the noise? So he says, of course you don't have to be scared of the bombs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. The problem is, there's always other outside things which they make in order to be able to. All these things are outside, which are really meaningless. It's not anything that's tangible. It's nothing that you should really be scared of. But just make a lot of noise and a lot of hype and saying it's not possible. Look at all, it's too scary. He says, everybody says all the, depends what you say, he's the Baal Musa, the Haile Gesum HaKadoshim, whichever one you want to call it. But because it's like he says, so Muhammad is always going on. Muhammad Sayyidah is always going on how you fight the Yitzhahara. See, Yitzhahara, a lot of times, one of his tactics is to go ahead and say, it's impossible, it's not Shaykh. Says, well, he didn't do anything. No, he doesn't have any tangible thing. His horse is screaming and this is shouting and all noise, it's a whole. It's impossible, it's not Shaykh, so forget it, I can't do it. And you get scared just out of nothing. There's nothing to it. He's just making a picture, making a balloon, a cloud, which is really not there. And there's nothing there, it's thin air. That's the main part of Torah, to make it impossible. And therefore, he says, if you make it impossible, it's not possible. The story, or someone told me, Baruch Zotzkin actually, Enikol Baruch Zotzkin, told me that Rabbi Brag had he makes Baal Tshuvas. So one time he had a son, so he made a Baal Tshuva, and he says, you have to get my brother. He says, what, my brother? He said, my brother, he's an atheist. And he's a committed atheist, he doesn't believe in Hashem, there's nothing there, there's no way to get him, he's a top-notch judge, and it's not happening. Impossible. Brag, I don't know if you know Brag at all, says nothing possible. It says that whoever was stood by Arsinai, whoever's parents stood by Arsinai, has the Muna, and he believes in Hashem, it's not Shaykh. So he said, no, I'm telling you, it's not possible to get this guy. It's not possible. It's not happening. He says, you know, go tell him that I don't believe he's really an atheist. Go tell, I don't believe you. I don't believe in atheist. Because his brother goes, this is a rabbi, I have a thing, he doesn't believe in atheist. And he gets all raced on, and he finally, it was the only way to get the guy. He got all mad. What do you mean you don't believe me? I really am an atheist. Says he wants to speak to you, he doesn't believe you, you're really an atheist. He says he comes up, he was in the Ez Nashim and tells. And he tells Aron Kodesh over there, and he's Ez Nashim and tells. The guy comes in, he says, I don't believe you. Gemara says, showed him the Gemara, says, whoever stood on Har Sinai, it says that he's a Maimon, he has a Muna. It's not Shaykh, you don't believe Hashem. It's not possible. He says, I did. And he gets him all round up. He says, it's fine. You don't believe Hashem? Listen, you have kids? He says, yeah, I have two daughters. A wife? Yeah. Hashem. Do you have business? Yeah. Okay, you see, go over there to the Aron Kodesh. Open up the Aron Kodesh. And says, listen, you don't believe Hashem, right? He says, go ahead and scream, Hashem, if you're there, I don't believe you. In front of there. He said, you should get rid of his kids. Daughters in crazy car accidents. His wife should get down with his sickness. Business should go down, get destroyed altogether, the whole business should get gone, everything should get wrong. Go ahead and say, tell God if he's out there, go ahead and do this. You don't believe there's anything out there anyways. The guy turns around and says, that far, I don't believe it. This is a way to get everybody. This is getting scared of big people that go ahead and they say, so there's nothing, it's not possible, it's not shayach. These things are simple things that we could go ahead and take just small attitudes instead of having just that spray of the car to make our car smell good and have that feeling of irrigation. If through the whole 30 days of Elul, every time we do a tefillah, every time we have a davening, every time we go to learn, every time we do a mitzvah, every time we do a chesed, we just go ahead and say, I'm doing this because this is what I want to do, and not because I have to do, the memela, our whole Elul is going to change, and we'll take it, hopefully get a fancier new car, and change, and we'll have a good convention to yours.